Amen. Good morning. Y'all awake this morning? It sounds like Bible days. They're like cheering on the Lions. Come get the fat Puerto Rican. That's what you sound like. Hey, my name is Ricky Torres. I'm the bus ministry youth pastor at First Baptist Church. And we have three youth pastors here. You can call them by names. We call them by color. We got the white group, the brown group, and then we got the mixed group, I guess, or whatever. But so Brother Abdel Judah is our local, we call drive-in crowd youth pastor. And then I am the bus teens. And then we have Brother Gomez, who's going to follow me in preaching. He is the Spanish pastor for the youth work. So we have three very large youth groups here at this church. This is my home church. This is where I grew up, came to church here, into this auditorium right here when I was 7 years old. That was a long time ago. But I came here, rode a bus. How many bus kids in here this morning? Bus kids? Well, besides them, all right. And got reached on the bus route in Chicago and came here. We have a special school for our bus kids. It's called City Baptist Schools. Very unique school. And then went to college. Started off as a Christian school teacher. And I'm telling you, I hated teaching. I was the worst teacher in the world. Okay? And when I taught for 2 years, and I just got to tell you that that a stapler ended my career as a teacher. And then I became a youth pastor. That's what happens when you're bad. They make you a youth pastor, right? They promote you. And so I've been a youth pastor now I'm the oldest youth pastor on staff. I'm the longest serving youth pastor on staff for probably about 18 years now total. Now, I gotta get something fixed here before we move on. Already last night, a man came up to me, a pastor, and said, "Brother Judah, it's good to see you." All right? Now, we may look alike from far, but let me tell you, it's like, you know, it may look good from far, but far from good. Okay, I look good, all right? He looks good from far, all right? So if you see him, Pastor, then I had a boy just a few minutes ago. "Brother Judah, would you sign my Bible?" "I don't know. You'd have to go across the street and get him." "I'm not Brother Judah," all right? Then I left last night, went across the street, and a guy came up to me and said, "That was a good message, Brother Areza. Look, y'all are either the dumbest crowd or the blindest crowd we've ever had a youth conference." All right? Just because we're Latinos doesn't mean we all look alike and we're all the same, all right? Hey, by the way, you know how the Major League Baseball, you know how they have like Latino Week or whatever, and it's called, you know, Los Cubs or whatever. Well, we're doing Los Youth Conference because I'm speaking, Torres, Gomez is up to follow, and Rios is leading singing. So it's Los Youth Conference this morning. Glad you're here. Thank you, youth pastors, for coming, for bringing your crowd. If you've never been here before, listen, we work very hard. But our main emphasis is behind this pulpit right here. And so I love young people. I never have really grown up as a kid. I'm going to be 50 years old here in a couple of weeks, believe it or not. And I still act like a kid. I love summer camp. We'll be going to summer camp. I love all that stuff. I love youth very, very much. This morning, I want you to go to the book of Exodus. Exodus. Very familiar chapter in Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. If you know your Bible, you know that's where the Lord begins to talk about the Ten Commandments, and He begins to give the Ten Commandments. I want your attention up here. Young people up here talking. Young man with the fro, turn around. Yeah, sir, right here. Can you get his attention? Right there. I need you to turn around. Look up here. Okay? I've got keen eyes. I preach to teenagers every week. If there's a worker over there in that section that can help me, if I can have an adult go up in there and let's cover that. Exodus chapter 20 is a very, very familiar chapter to us. It is the Ten Commandments. I want you to read it with me because I'm guessing some of you have no clue what I'm talking about when I say Ten Commandments. So we're going to read verse 1 through 5. And would you read it with me? "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Young people, if you've never read that before, and it's the first time you've ever read it, you could walk away with one thing. God does not want to be second place in anything. If just reading that verse, you're going to find out one thing. God says, I want to be first in your life. Don't bring me, don't make me any other gods. He says then, he goes on, he says, I'm a jealous God. Young people, I want you to listen to me this morning. This morning, God is jealous for you. God wants you. But God, in some cases, is jealous of you because you've drifted away. Because you've gone away. And God wants you back. God says, man, I made you and I formed you and I brought you. And God says, I am jealous for you. This morning, I want to take a few minutes and I want to share something that's a burden in my heart. Last spring, the Lord burdened me for many weeks about our young people being saved. And in a matter of a month, I told the Lord, Lord, I'll pray, but I won't preach any messages. And in a matter of a month, through youth revivals and school chapels and some other things, in 1 month, we saw 76 young people come to the Lord. And this is something that the Lord is burdening me about. About the fact that our young people in this room are so blinded to the gods that you've created in your life. The gods are glimmering and shining, and the gods are so enticing, and you have given into them, and you have no clue that in seeking the gods of this world, you have forsaken the true and living God. I want to spend a few minutes this morning. I'm not a long preacher. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject. It's not the God on the shelf. It's the God of yourself. It's not the God on the shelf. It's the God of yourself. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? Would you, in your heart right now, ask the Lord just to speak to you? Never mind this voice. Never mind who I am. Never mind that I'm up here. Would you just simply say, Lord, let your word be magnified in me. Holy Spirit of God, speak to me. Father God, we need you this morning. Dear Lord, I am not competent to get up here and hold such a holy book. But God, I pray that your word would not go void. And I need the Spirit of God to reach from the top balcony to the back row on the main floor. And God, would you please this morning, would you just help us to understand how we have been so blinded and we've been so misguided in chasing the things of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up in the city of Chicago. I did not have a Christian home. And I'm not going to tell my testimony all, but I did not have a Christian home. Growing up, we didn't have much. We were a large family. There were eight of us. And when you have a family of eight, you just kind of move every time the rent's due. I mean, I lived in probably 12 different locations from the time I was about 7 years old to 18. I think we moved once or twice every year. I had a mom and dad. They were at home. I'd say my dad was kind of an absent dad, worked a lot, said he loved us by working, but he was never home. I never had much. Growing up, I'd look outside and I always wondered what the people on the other side of the city had that I did not have. But at age 7 years old, right here behind this wall here, there was a building. I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, I can't remember what I did last night, and that's truth. But I remember what happened, young people, way back then, November the 9th, 1974. I came for horseback riding Sunday. Kids in the city think it's pretty cool to go and ride a horse. They lie. We never do ride the horse. We look at it, pet it, and get back on the bus. All right? But I came and I got saved. And listen to me, young people, not having anything growing up. When I got Jesus, amen. I got the world. Amen. Not having material things, not having a family with a godly heritage as a young boy. Have you ever been there? Young people, have you ever been saved? And has God been so real to you that it just brought you to tears that God would save you? And as a 7-year-old boy, it brought me to tears that I was loved. And that a God would seek me out. And that God would allow me to become one of His sons. Young people, I quickly found out, as a boy, I may not have much, but I gained the world when I got the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, listen to young people. The more of God you have in your life, the less of the world you'll need. And the more of the world you have in your life, the less of God you'll need. And you're either in one category this morning. You are a worldly filled young person this morning. Or you're a young person. You're not all and you're not perfect, but you're seeking God. If I were to get up on this platform this morning and start chanting, if I were to get up here this morning with some looking false god idol, if I were to bring a statue up in here and start bowing to it, you would stop and you would say, hey, you can't do that. You're in a church. You're not supposed to bring other gods into this church. Well, let me ask you a question. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Why do you allow other gods to invade the temple of the Holy Ghost? We come to church and we say, man, there is no way that I would come in here and light incense and bow down and do sacrifices. I was reading about some of the gods of the Bible, 8 major gods, that would require of their followers to kill their babies. That would require of their followers to burn their children. That would require their followers to have immoral acts in the altar. That would require of their followers for men and women to be immoral and to do all sorts of wicked things. But I'm so glad that I serve a God today that requires me just to follow Him. You would be shocked. And what in the world are you doing? And why are you there? And what are you not supposed to be doing in that church? And yet we're so blinded by the gods we've created in our lives and the gods we allowed in our lives, young people. There's a lot of young people in here right now. You're not listening because there's a God called an iPhone sitting on your lap and that is telling you what to think. There's a lot of young people in here. You are so distracted because you've formed an idol in your life called a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And right now you cannot hear the word of God because that idol is overwhelming your thoughts right now. There's young people in here right now. You are so obsessed with a sport. You are so obsessed with a talent. You are so obsessed with a career that all you keep thinking about is not the next step in Christ, but the next step when you get to go out and do and honor and worship that God. This morning, I want to challenge you to do 2 things. Identify the God, eliminate the God. Identify the God, eliminate the God. So many times it is hard to identify the God because we have been blinded by it. We've been blinded by that God in our life. Identify the God. Eliminate the God. Repent from the God. Replace the God. We have made ourselves the biggest God. We go to God and we tell Him, I will do what I want to do. When I want to do it, and don't tell me any different. And if your word is against what I'm wanting to do, well, I'm sorry, God. Your word is old, archaic, it's a relic. I'm just going to have to do what I feel. Young people in here called to, you know you've been called to preach. You know you've been called to serve God. And yet you keep holding back. Why? Because the greatest God in your life is the God of self. And that God keeps saying, no, no, no. I need to make money. I need to have a position. I need to have a big home. Listen to me, young people. A lot of you young people are going to get what you want. You're going to lose what you had. God is an awesome God. Man, I don't know about you, but not having much growing up, and maybe I'm just talking to myself in here, but why would I want anything less than the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Why would I want something that has to be renewed every year, or you have to upload or upgrade every year? Why would I want something, young people, that only satisfies for a moment? Hey, if the music of this world is so good, then why do they have to do a new playlist every Friday? Why do they do the billboard countdown? Why is it we're still singing Amazing Grace and I'll Fly Away? And why are we still singing those songs? You know why? Because those songs are deeply rooted in the fact that we worship the true and living God. We made ourselves the biggest God. I'll do what I want to do when I want to do it, and don't you tell me any different. We learn to lean unto our own understanding. Don't seek any counsel. Don't ask anybody what the Word of God says. We don't yield ourselves to Christ. Hey, can I ask you a question? When was the last time you walked an altar? Can I show you what an altar is? This is an altar. You say there's steps. No, it's an altar. Now, aren't you glad we're not living in Bible days where you would have to bring a sacrificer and it'd be stinky and bloody? No, aren't you glad that the sacrifice has been made in the Lord Jesus Christ and now all you got to do is come present yourselves a living sacrifice? When was the last time you walked? This is an altar. When was the last time you walked an altar? When was the last time you raised your hand? You see, when we make ourselves a God, then we decide how we respond, and we decide when we respond. Young people, when was the last time you used an altar? When was the last time you raised your hand? When was the last time you went and said, you know, I've got to deal with sin in my life. I've got to deal with this issue in my life. We seek careers over calling. I keep hearing of Bible colleges that are changing and dwindling. And listen, there's a lot of young people now that say, well, I need to make a career. I need to make some money. I need to be an engineer. I need to be a doctor. I need to be a lawyer. That's what you want to be. That's the God in you. But what does God want you to do? You say, well, I don't want to sacrifice. Sacrifice what compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross? Occupations over obedience. The God of this world are never satisfied. The gods of this world do not want a part. They want all of you, young people. They want all of you. There's an old story in mythology about three men that were worshiping this god. And they got tired of worshiping the god and the false god talking back to them and telling them what to do. So these men had been given powers over this false god, and they got together and they said, we are now going to create our own god. So one man said, hey, I have the power to create structure in the bone, and I'll create the bone and the skeleton. The other one said, I have powers to create the skin and the tendons and the sinew, and I will create that. And the other one says, I am gifted with the ability to give the brain and the mind and intelligence and understanding, and I will do that. So these three men, they got together and they created their own false god that they could manipulate and that they could control and they could tell what to do. And the day came, and sure enough, through their satanic powers and so on, they built this god, and now this god was going to be subject to them, and they built him, and they created him, and they released him, and sure enough, the God turned around and devoured every one of them and said, you do not have power to destroy the gods you create in your life. Only the gods can. Listen to me, young people. You've got to stop trying to get right on your own. You've got to stop trying to get right by willpower. I said that you need to identify the God. Let me ask you a couple of questions about these gods in your life. Is it technology? Is it a girlfriend? Is it a career? Is it something so honest and good as a sport? Is it something so just very simple as even where you want to live? Where you want to be someday? Let me ask you a couple of questions about your gods. Have you worshipped it? You say, what do you mean have I worshipped it? Meaning, Brother Ricky, have I gotten bowed down to it? Listen, if you've given it more time than you've given the true and living God, you've worshipped it. Have you ever missed a church service for it? Oh, it's the All-Star game. Yeah, go to church. It's the Super Bowl game. Yeah, go to church. It's the NBA Finals. Go to church. Have you worshipped it? Worship means to make it worthy. Have you made it worthy at the expense of making unworthy the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no such thing, young people, as dual worship. You can only worship one God at a time. And listen to me, some young people, you've already given worth to a God in your life. Whenever you get the phone out in church and you start scrolling through social media, you've given it worth. It has gotten worth over the Word of God. And by the way, nothing is to be heard above the Word of God. Have you worshipped it? Are you obsessed by it? Does it weaken you spiritually? Young men, are you looking at a screen that is screaming out ungodly images and just messing with your mind and you will not give it up? Are you obsessed with it? Is it controlling you? Have you sacrificed for it? I don't mean bring a child or burn an incense. I'm talking about, what spiritual discipline have you given up in your life because of that little god or idol that you've allowed into your world? Identify the god. Does it control you, or do you control it? Have you separated yourself to it? Music, go into the room, put on the beats, drown out everybody else. You've just made that a god in your life. You could go pray, but it's easier to listen to music. Yeah, are you listening to me? Are you awake this morning? Are you there? It's so much easier, young people, to go complain to somebody than it is to go pray about something. The god of this world have blinded you. Our hearts are stirred, young people. And you know they are, but they're not changed. Last night in this auditorium, a phenomenal message on faith was preached, and a phenomenal call for salvation was preached. And there's a lot of young people in here. Your hearts were stirred last night, but you know what? There was that pull of that idol that said, no. If you go down there, your friends are going to give you up. Hey, if you go down there, people are going to expect you to make a change. Hey, if you go down there, people are going to look at you like there's something wrong. Identify the idol. Hearts are stirred, but they're not changed. I want you to go to Romans chapter 12, please. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I think this is a sad statement in Romans chapter 12, and verse 1. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. That is not talking about ungodly, wicked, paganistic people. It's talking about people who named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew Him, the Bible says, but they glorified Him not. Became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We start to develop idols when we start to look for a better way, young people. When we think there's a better way than God's way, we begin to develop idols in our lives. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We start to develop idols, young people, in our lives when we lean unto our own desires, our own wishes, and our own wants, and not what God wants. Look at verse 23. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. We start to develop idols, young people, when we try to bring God down to our level instead of bringing us up to His level. Have you identified an idol in your life? Have you identified in your heart right now, can you call something out that as I read that list of things that you've worshipped or talked to or done, has it talked to you in your heart about the fact that, hey, you know, I do have these things. They're controlling me. Verse Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. You know, the problem in America is not every stinking social issue that's out the doors of this church. The problem in America is all the issues inside this church. It's all the young people that are rebellious. All you young people in here that are Romans 1:21 Christians. I'm almost done. said identify it, then eliminate it. Eliminate it, young people. There's only really one way of eliminating the gods of your life. Throughout the book of 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, when a new judge would come into place, or a new king would come into place, and there was a wicked king before, God said, tear down the altars, tear down the groves, build up new. Listen. Reason, young people, we allow these idols and gods in our lives is because, number one, we've truly never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Because if you had a comparison that you can compare to the goodness and the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, trust me, you wouldn't follow anyone but Him. We've not come to know Christ. Number two, we've truly never repented. We play with our sin. Hey, young people, why don't you listen to this comment? The sins of your youth are going to become the chains of your life. A lot of young people dragging a ball and chain in their 30s and 40s that they put around their ankles in their teens. Repent. Come and say, Lord, whatever it is, a sport, a phone, technology, a career, lay it down and say, God, I'm going to sacrifice this to you before I sacrifice myself to the gods of this world. My heart's broken because I don't understand, if you are truly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can truly claim the name of Christ, why you would want anything different. Maybe I'm just crazy. There's something wrong with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Young people, identify the idol. Eliminate the idol. We cannot take the next step in our Christian lives unless we give up those things, young people, that are a weight and a hindrance.